This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Miami Dolphins football, live on the Miami Dolphins radio network.
Sponsored by AmeriSave, the official mortgage lender of the Miami Dolphins. Publix. To become a Publix member, visit clubpublix.com. Seminole Hard Rock Hollywood, South Florida's ultimate entertainment destination. Ticketmaster, official marketplace of the NFL. Dolphins football, presented by the Palm Beaches.
We are back here for hour number two of the Miami Dolphins fifth quarter overtime show. We have the head coach. Let's go ahead and go to Mike McDaniel following his 16-10 victory over the Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right, what's going on?
Had a couple of close endings this season already. Those last two drives when Javon picks off Kenny Pickett and then Noah gets the toe tap and grab. What's going through your mind in those two moments?
Hooray. This is something that we've been making a big point of emphasis within the team on turnover differential, you know, so it's something that we've been focusing on. So getting one early and then at the end of the game when it mattered most to get two more was obviously the difference in winning and losing. So it was very exciting. But on top of that, it was something that we've made a focal point, so it was good to see that happen.
What do you think happened with the offense? Obviously, you scored 13 points in the first quarter, three the rest of the game. Logged down in the red zone. What do you think went into that?
No, there was some, it wasn't one thing. We were doing some good things, and players were doing some solid things, but then there was key mistakes, whether it was a bad play call, or it was a guy making a play here or there. We just weren't really coming together. We lacked that rhythm, and especially after we had the in the third quarter that first drive that went for it on fourth and three in the tight red. Felt like right after that, you know, we kind of hit a lull that we can all learn from, because it was like we got punched in the stomach or something. So we It was a struggle to the Pittsburgh Steelers defense. To their credit, they had a they adjusted themselves, and we didn't make the further adjustment, which is something that we'll focus on moving forward.
You mentioned that 4th-and-3. Can you discuss the decision to go for it there, and then also the play call?
No. That's something that will never. I'm very aware that it's one of those things that if it works, it's a great play, and if it doesn't, you know exactly what you have to face, or it could be a deciding factor in the game. So you do that. I think there's at the moment I had some faith in the players. And then, regardless, you do it and you don't convert, that's a bad decision, because you have points, especially with the way Jason's kicking. It would have been a 2-score game. So those are things that you're well aware of when you enter into it. It was something that, I felt pretty good about it working out. It didn't. So that's something that, I take full responsibility for, and luckily the rest of the team had that decision's back, and we were able to come up with a win.
Specifically to that, was it one of those? Was it, in terms of your decision making process? Was it? Do you have somebody in your ear telling you like the analytics behind it and and then you kind of go with your gut, or is it just you hear the numbers?
No, I have a couple guys within analytics that are in my ear, in all those types of situations. In this situation, they did not advise me to kick it. I mean, to go for it. There's plenty of decisions that are made that, it's a balancing act. You take the statistical, percentage chance, which is what they're evaluating. It's one of those things. I think it was a 4th, and I think the scoreboard might have said 3. I think it was like a long 2.5, but it's one of those that if it's 4th-and-2, they're a lot more supportive. 4th-and-3, they get, the percentages go way down. But that was something that I do pretty much every game where you're balancing that with the momentum of the game and where we're at. And I felt really confident that that we'd be able to convert. Obviously, we didn't. I would have never even entered into that chance-taking process if I wasn't super confident in the way the defense was playing. So I really wanted the team to be able to make it a 2-touchdown game, because we're going to go for 2 if we were able to get in the end zone and score. So it didn't work out, but that's why it's an entire team function and job to win a football game. And they came, the defense came through, and we didn't turn the ball over. So we ended up on the winning side.
Mike, from a defensive perspective, what are some things you liked about what Josh Boyer did from a planning and then an in-game adjustment, especially with all the injuries?
No, it was a tremendous plan that, we felt pretty good about our matchups with regard to our front and how we could really disrupt them and get them out of the pocket. We didn't really get the sacks that we're hoping for, but you have to be very disciplined with that young quarterback, because he is quick and he can make you pay if your rush lanes you don't have integrity. So I really liked that. I really liked how he was, the plan all week was going to play to our strength and then utilize fundamentals and make them earn everything and be physical. And we've been working on a lot of open field tackling and things like that. And getting turnovers, and I thought collectively the entire defensive staff and the defensive players put forth a very winning effort, so it was encouraging.
The quick start, particularly after missing basically 3 games and 2 full weeks of practice?
What's up?
Tua's performance, especially the quick start after missing basically three games in 2 full weeks?
No, that's not an easy thing to do, you know, because we were on a Thursday night game in Cincinnati when he last played. Those games, you don't have full speed practices. So his last full speed practice was before the Buffalo game, which is our third game of the season. So it's to his credit. He was, if he wasn't so prepared and hadn't put himself in the position of playing quarterback when he was out, he wouldn't have been able to have any sort of success like that. That's all, because it wasn't like, you know, I mean, it was a legitimate couple weeks where you're not playing football. So I think he did a tremendous job. I know he's a competitor and a perfectionist, and there's some stuff in the, particularly in the second half, that was getting his getting him frustrated to a degree. But you know, did everything it took to win the game, and that's all that matters.
Were you okay with him twice lowering his shoulder in those situations?
I mean, you know, it's hard. You know, was I advising him to do that? You know, I think no. I think he immediately, the next series after the first time he did it, he was like, "Coach, I'm sorry. I needed that. I just needed." So I was like, "All right." So yeah, I mean, but it is football, and he's going to protect himself, and he's got that component to his game where you know he's a competitor, and he's trying to get a first down for his team. So I'm never going to totally. Encourage that at all. I'm probably going to advise him to slide every time, but when push comes to shove and a guy has the ball in his hands, you know, it's gonna be tough to get him to completely turn it down, although I will try.
What did that going back to the no interception, how proud of you for him for that moment, and what do you think that would do for his confidence?
No, it's a big deal. You know, it just goes to show, and it's a great example for the entire team. You know, this is a guy that, you know, because of certain matchups that we had going on at the beginning of the year, he didn't start the year dressing. And you can go one or two ways with that. So you can either let it define you and rattle you, or you can not even blink and worry about the opportunities you do get. I think that's one of my favorite examples of this season because, you know, he does his best to ignore the noise, but nobody's oblivious, and he really, really wants to do big things in this league, and he's only 22 or 23 years old. He's super young, but, you know, I think the whole team really, just in the locker room, was really excited for him because they know how hard he's worked. And, you know, to get on the field, to contribute, and then to do it at the end of the game, you know, that's a big moment that's, you know, will always be one of the bigger ones in your NFL career because it's his first game ender.
You guys have realized that scoring's down across the league. You guys are moving the ball a lot. Mm-hmm. Your yardage is mm-hmm. a lot. And it doesn't seem to be reflective in the points. Do you feel that way? Or
absolutely. No, they're... We should be scoring more points than we are. I think everybody on the team would agree with that. And so you have to. There's no just like some sprinkle fairy dust to fix that. It's just not absolute. You have to identify and address what has been the hiccup when you get in those situations. I think we've. You know, we've had both misfortunes during the year. There's been times that we haven't gotten in the red zone enough because we are scoring when we're there. In this case, we were moving the ball, but things were we had some hiccups and weren't able to get touchdowns. And so the whole deal is to continually progress with your game and make sure that is not the norm, because you don't it is frustrating for the whole team, and you know, we're not going to be able to just have to outscore 10 points every time to win games. So we got to find a way to get better at that, which we'll be focused on moving forward.
Thanks, guys.
Awesome. Thank you.
Head coach tonight, Mike McDaniel. We'll come back on the other side and react to Coach at the podium. Dolphins postgame is driven by Gunther Mazda. You got to get to Gunther Mazda in Fort Lauderdale to experience a new Mazda SUV on 441 just north of I-595 or visit GuntherMazda.com. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Mazda. The final score here from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 16, Steelers 10. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins fifth quarter overtime show brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games. Or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Guess what, Dolphins Nation? When you sign up for Club Publix, you get perks, a birthday treat, and BOGO notifications. Just visit clubpublix.com. Terms and conditions apply. Almost read the wrong word.
Bro, I love BOGO. I love BOGO there. All day. Yeah. My first stop is BOGO.
We can go to Publix this week, right?
Stuff I've never bought in my life. If it's buy one, get one, all of a sudden I'm like, hey, I'll give this a shot.
Right. Yeah,
which I guess is the point.
And like you said, Travis, we can definitely go to Publix. After a win, we can go. We can be around town, man. And Publix is a perfect spot to start off with tomorrow, man, for these guys, man. You get a win. You know, we talk about how I hated leaving and going out, you know, for the whole week when we lost the game. But when you get a win like that on Sunday night, Publix all day tomorrow.
I had myself a Boar's Head Italian sub today and yesterday for lunch. Cool things. Get the whole sub. Yeah, you go half the next day.
Damn right. It's plenty.
That's the move. Yeah. So we can go to Publix after a win. Win or lose, we can go to our press conference consigliere. You guys like that little transition there? As we throw it here to Seth Levitt to tell us about
Coach
Mike McDaniel and what he said there after the game.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff, I think, starting with hooray. You know, just like us, he gave a hooray there at Noah's game-closing interception.
Hooray.
What I really liked hearing, I thought was kind of interesting, is that turnover differential was a big point of emphasis in practice, right? You know, he talked about the fact that tackling, open field tackling, yep, being physical and winning the turnover margin was a big point of emphasis in practice. We don't know that. We don't know that. That's something we have talked about on this show, right, that needs to get corrected. It's a good thing to know that they are working on it in right, practice. But today you saw it come to fruition. And so it wasn't like he was surprised. Like, this is what we've been coaching up. This is what we're paid to do. This is what we've done. And you got to see it out here, you know, live in action. So I thought that was interesting. Key mistakes after doing some good things, and the offense lacked rhythm. That's exactly what we saw, you know, and clearly coach saw that as well. But what I did think was an interesting note is that he felt the team hit a lull after the failed fourth and three attempt. He said it was like we got punched in the stomach.
Yeah.
And my guess is he's going to tell these guys, look, whether I make a good call, a bad call, the best call, we don't execute, you can't just shut down at the beginning of the third quarter because something didn't work out.
Right.
You know, that's what that sound, you know, it felt like we got punched in the stomach. That kind of sounded to me like he's saying it shouldn't feel like we got punched in the stomach at that point. And I don't disagree with him. You know, we all might have preferred that he kicked the field
right,
goal there.
Right.
He chose not to, but you can't say, well, we're not going to score for another, you know, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of interesting. They adjusted. We didn't make the proper adjustments to their adjustments. So, you know, you don't like to hear that, but it's an honest and accountable answer. And then there was a lot of conversation, as there should have been, about the decision to not kick a field goal
right,
and go up by 9. Coach owned it. And, again, whether we disagree with the decision, which I would have – to me, personally, I would have preferred to kick the field goal or at least called a different play. I didn't think that play with that back – has proven successful all season.
Right.
So I don't, you know, I didn't have a whole lot of faith in it at that moment, but he did. And he not only had faith in the team's ability to make the play, he said he felt extremely confident because of the way the defense was playing. And he said, look, I know how it works in this league. If you convert it, it's a great play call. And if you don't, it's a bad decision. We didn't, so it was a bad decision, but the rest of the team had that decision's back. And so I thought that was kind of interesting. Yeah. It was not the analytics guys. Travis and I were wondering, was that an – you know, Travis even pulled up the analytics. Then we tried to understand what the hell the analytics were even telling us. But I don't think it gave us any answers. But Coach gave us the answer. That was a gut decision. He made it, and he owned it. But what I did like, Juice, is that he was thinking forward there in a sense. Again, I don't necessarily agree with the decision, but he knew if they had converted that and gone in for a touchdown, they were going for 2. He wanted to be up by 14. So he was thinking ahead there. It wasn't yeah, like he got nervous and just panicked and decided to call. We don't have to like the call, but we also don't get paid to make the call.
Correct.
Nor do we get paid to have to live with the decision that he made. He does. He made the decision. He's living with it. He understands how it worked out. He recognizes that if the team didn't have its back, that he was going to be held accountable for it. And so I just thought it was, again, to be able to get inside of his head. And fortunately, we've got a coach here that opens up the inside of his head and shares
right,
with
right,
us what's
right,
going on.
Right.
So that's all really interesting to me. And, you know, that's what I got.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, honestly, in my opinion, this is just me, it was a bad decision no matter what. You know, and you know, the team did have us back. Fortunately, they had us back. You know, 2 interceptions late in the game. But going up 9 or going up 14 or 12, potentially 14, it's 2 scores. It's 2 scores, man. And that's the one I think it's got to be some, you know, some growing thing. Analytics weren't there. We all talked – I talk about this. If the you know, you're going backwards. We're in a bad situation right there. Going up 2 scores is going up 2 scores right there, and that's what you have to do in this game. You know, you got to – your gut said go for it. I mean, hey, look, we love Coach, and we love everything Coach does, but if we don't speak what's real right here on the show, then we can't talk about, man, because that – I thought, in my opinion, that was a bad decision. It was a bad decision.
So you're saying,
decision,
regardless of the result, even if they had converted there,
it's still a bad decision.
Felt it would have been a bad decision.
If Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is shooting 3-pointers and it goes in, it's a bad decision still. You know what I mean? That's a bad decision, in my opinion. That's
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Just how I feel.
That was old school. But you know what? In the spirit of the 72 Dolphins, you might as well go back. I like that. So, yeah, I don't disagree with you, Juice. I didn't care for the decision, but I did find it interesting that it was a decision made and a thought out. There was an entire plan there behind it. And, look, it didn't work out. Fortunately, it ultimately did not.
I thought the plan should have changed when we lost yards in the play before that. You know what I mean? That's why I thought, you know, there might have been a plan originally to go forward down there. But when you start, you're going the other way, that's kind of a momentum change, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I didn't like the play call. And, you know, I would have preferred the field goal. That's not the decision that he made. But he's living with it. And fortunately, he lives with it at 4-3. Also, again, it was kind of interesting that, you know, they came in here and wanted to be really disciplined with their pass rush. They respected Pickett's ability to tuck the ball and run. And so while, you know, he said, hey, we didn't get the sacks that we wanted to get, but they had to be disciplined there. And how about Tua coming off after the first time he lowered his shoulder and said, Coach, I'm sorry, but I needed that. I think it really supports what you were saying, Juice, is that he wanted to go out there. He wanted to feel okay. He wanted to feel like a football player and not somebody who's fragile and can't get hit. And he felt he needed it. I wish he didn't feel that he needed it. Sounds like Coach did as well. But, you know, in the moment of truth, that's what Tua did.
The third down I got. The second down play in the goal line, I didn't get that one at all.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
What are we doing?
And then the final thing for Coach, we should be scoring more points than we are.
That was a good question to end the press conference there because, like you said, the yardage does not reflect the score at the end of the day. I pulled up the chart from the fourth down decision bot. It's a Twitter bot that pumps out every single
Twitter
analytics just situation that comes up in a game. And so here's what the numbers told. This is what McDaniel Shirley was looking at right here. If you kick a field goal in that opportunity, Your win percentage is 90%. If you go for it, it's 89%. So it's a 1% difference. If you're successful in the field goal, 94%. If you go for it, it goes down to your success rate to accomplish the first down is only 48%. So then the win percentage, if you fail a field goal, is 84. If you succeed, it's 90. If you this is confusing.
No, right? I got it. I'm following.
If you convert the fourth down, it's 85% to if you fail, it's 85% to win. If you succeed, it's 93% to win. So it's really tight. So
yeah, I'm glad. Really you know what? I like that he said he wasn't paying attention to the analytics there because if a coach is looking at
40
that,
seconds to decide that
if
too.
My head coach, but he said he wasn't looking at that, and I feel better regardless if I liked his decision or not. I don't want my coach looking at that in the middle of the damn game.
I thought I could do it on the radio. I couldn't even do it here. So.
Yeah, right. I want him to look there and say, okay, I know my roster. I know how they're playing. I'm going to make a decision. Again, I would have preferred he kicked the field goal, but I'm glad he's not sitting there trying to figure that stuff out.
Yeah. It makes me think about the guys that have to sort that stuff because, my goodness, I got to take a break, I think. Let's go ahead and do that, actually. We'll come back and do game balls next. Dolphins postgame driven by Gunther Mazda. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Mazda. Again, the final score here from Hard Rock Stadium. Dolphins 16, Steelers 10. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Overtime Show brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
Discover your rhythm at the Guitar Hotel, an entertainment destination unlike anywhere else in the world. Savor the notes of perfection at 20 world-class dining venues. Peace of mind awaits at one of Florida's largest and most luxurious spas. Immerse yourself in our tropical oasis where beauty knows no boundaries. Get loud at the state-of-the-art Hard Rock Live, then turn it up another octave at Dare Rooftop Nightclub and Day Club. Escape to the only place where paradise meets playground. Discover your rhythm at Hard Rock Hotel.
Attention Dolphins fans, get ready to cruise the Caribbean in 2023 with 35 of your all-time favorite Dolphins legends, including Dan Marino, Larry Zonka, Mark Duper, and many more. You'll enjoy countless Dolphins-themed events and activities, all with your favorite Dolphins legends, as we celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Dolphins' 1972 undefeated perfect season at sea. Don't miss out. Tickets are going fast. Book today at DolphinsFanCruise.com.
Chevron with Techron has unbeatable engine cleaning power, and it gives you unbeatable mileage for all kinds of unbeatable destinations, like time in the sun at the beach, or time in the sun riding roller coasters, or a day in the sun hiking mountains. Well, probably just one mountain would be enough for a day, but hiking a mountain is still an unbeatable choice for how to spend time. Download the Chevron app now to get unbeatable mileage at locations near you.
Dolphins fans, when it's time to get to the game for NFL action, Ticketmaster's got your seat.
As the official ticket marketplace of the NFL, Ticketmaster has a wide selection of seats so you never miss a minute of the action this season. And rest assured, if your plans change, it's easy to securely sell your seats on Ticketmaster. Plus, you can easily transfer tickets to friends and family so you can meet up at the stadium. Score tickets today at Ticketmaster.com/Dolphins. Again, that's Ticketmaster.com/Dolphins.
You're listening to Dolphins Football on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
The home of every Miami Dolphins game. AM 560 Sports WQAM.
Give your actions more traction in the all-new Kia Sportage X-Pro with multi-terrain all-wheel drive. With the right tools, anything is possible. We haven't had a chance to do this segment for the last couple of weeks because we haven't had a victory in our back pockets. We do tonight here early on Monday morning, coming up on the 1 o'clock hour. Let's go ahead and do some game balls.
It's time for Travis, Seth, and O.J. McDuffie to hand out their game balls on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
Oh, yeah, it's game balls time. This music gets me going every single time. I'm going to kick it off tonight, and we'll go ahead and go with Seth and Juice on your three Miami Dolphins game balls off a 16-10 victory over the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm going with Jalen Phillips because this guy, whether the numbers are there or not on a given week, you feel his presence every single Sunday and twice on Sunday night. The way he was reading some of those two-gap opportunities in the running game, staying outside, keeping that outside arm free on those outside runs and getting out to the edge and stringing those plays outside, or staying true to his rush lanes as a pass rusher. You know, it's funny, guys. I thought that his sack, or the one that he got accredited, I think either the entire sack or half the sack, I don't even think it was one of his best pass rushes of the night because Zach Sealer really flushed Kenny Pickett right into him, and that's a good thing that he was there for it. But I thought there was 8 or 9 pass rush reps otherwise where he really impacted Pickett, forced him into a quicker throw off the spot, etc., etc. And then the run defense. The man essentially ended that opening drive of the third quarter with a tackle for loss and then the sack on back-to-back plays. He entered this game, guys, among the top 10 edge defenders in a stat that ESPN tracks called run stop win rate. I imagine he climbs those rankings tonight after the performance he gave you in this game on Sunday night. 4 solo tackles, 4 assists, 1.5 sacks, but really just the presence is what gets Jalen Phillips his game ball. What say you, Big Seth?
Well, I'm going to stay on the defensive side of the ball. I think that's pretty clear tonight. But I'm going with a guy that wasn't even supposed to be playing defense this year. Heck, he wasn't even on the roster at the beginning of the year. He didn't sign till my daughter's birthday, September 1st. Happy birthday, totally, on September 1st. And what a gift we got here with the Miami Dolphins in Justin Bethel. 7 tackles, 1 interception. Let me tell you why 7 tackles is a big deal. Since 2018, before this game, he had 6 total tackles on defense. Wow. He had 7 tackles tonight.
Right.
How about that interception?
Right.
The guy fell down. You know what? He didn't fall down. Juice, somebody's got to stay on their feet. 2 guys got tangled up. Justin Bethel stayed on his feet. And then how about the Willie Mays over the shoulder? Is that a little baseball reference?
That's a lot
over
of baseball.
The shoulder
Seth,
interception.
You better leave it alone, Big Seth.
I'm fired up for Justin Bethel's performance. So 7 tackles, an interception. I could say a pass defense, but that was the interception for those of you who don't understand how that works. He wasn't done. He was still covering kicks on special teams.
Yeah.
He had 2 punts. Yeah. He had 2 tackles on punts, including one that was downed inside the 20. Don't you think that Borstead ran all the way down there and gave him the handshake because he had 2 tackles there? So just an outstanding performance by a guy who wasn't even supposed to be there. And you want to talk about a veteran showing up and delivering and helping this team in a time of need. Justin Bethel gets my game ball tonight.
Showing up in September and he's getting a game ball here in the end of October. That's
outstanding.
That's a big time there. What do you think, Juice?
You know, you guys have gotten some really great players. And obviously the defense is the theme tonight.
No defensive bias tonight.
No defensive bias tonight. But my guys, Andrew Van Ginkel.
He was
How about him all over the place? Not only was he disruptive, you know, in the backfield, holding the edge, making plays in the hole, running guys down. You know, when you think that some of these teams or some of these running backs have an opportunity to get to a first down, hold them short of the sticks, but also the spy game he had on at times tonight too. He had an outstanding game, ever present, everywhere you looked around, he's making these plays. And, man, just an all-around great game. 8 total tackles, 3 solos. 3 solos, man. I mean, that's
Oh, no, it's just five solos. And I'm saying –
it's getting better.
Yeah, it's better as we talk about it. It's a great game, man. Defensively as a whole, we all realize that those guys were the ones that deserved all this. But my guy, Andrew Van Ginkle, man, what a hell of a night he had, you know, and preserving his win for the Miami Dolphins.
Just the way he covered space out there. You mentioned the spies he had on Kenny Pickett, and that was obviously a big point of contention for the defense with those that rush gap integrity we heard Coach talk about there in the press conference. Man, he was all over the place, blocks in the running game and getting depth and coverage in the passing game. I was so impressed by both the guys you listed there.
I like the fact that we got guys on all three levels that were impact players tonight.
There
you go. Know what I mean?
That's perfect.
That's the way it should be, you know. Guys on all three levels out there making plays. And, you know, you got some guys that are leaders. Who knows some of the other guys that are unsung heroes in those situations, but those guys were afforded the opportunity to go out there and make some plays. Great job.
He said unsung heroes, which just teased me up for the rest of the segment that I love to do here where I give you guys about five or six more names. not game balls, but I do think Raheem Mostert, 16 for 79, yes. 4 for 30 in the passing game and a touchdown.
Best
the
player
only
on offense
touchdown.
Tonight.
He really was. He looks good. He's been carving it up the last couple of weeks. And, you know, even that Jets game he got going, the Bengals game he got going, I should say.
And if he had held on to that ball and he got smacked.
Yeah,
he did get popped.
He got popped. But if he had held on to that, he probably would have gotten a game ball.
Easily
that
would have. Yeah.
That probably
touchdowns.
Would have set up his own touchdown the
Correct.
Next play.
Yeah, he was on one tonight. I thought it was great to see Teron Armstead back. I think he changes the way the offensive line plays. Guys, I'm pretty excited about Brandon Shell. I think he might be your new right tackle. He looks pretty good out there.
It's always a good sign right there.
Coming off the practice. I mean, look at this team. Look at what they're doing to find guys. You know, you talk about Justin Bethel and Brandon Shell coming up and just playing a bunch of really key snaps and giving you a good performance. Jalen Waddle, I mean, this is probably the latest we've mentioned him on a show all year long, 4 for 88 for the Penguin. That's a big night for him. And then Xavien Howard, man. Like, I think we heard his name once there late towards the end, and he had a great rep where Chase Claypool and it might have been Deontay Johnson, I'm not sure, but they ran a little switch release juice, and the way that he didn't follow the man coverage inside. He peeled back to the corner route on a big third down stop on Chase Claypool, and he was all over him. I thought we had vintage Xavien Howard in this game tonight.
Correct. He had the opportunities, too. You know, Xavien, and a lot of times now I think we get to the point where hopefully nobody challenges him, you know, because he's going to once he gets back to himself, then it's going to be, you know, more turnovers on the other side. And I think that's why the other guys got opportunities, too, for these interceptions, you know, going away from him at some point because they realize that, you know, he's starting to gain his stride again. So, I mean, guys being in the right place, you got a guy like X out there working for you. It's going to give other guys opportunity. So X is getting back there. I mean, of course, once you get banged up a little bit in the season, it's tough to get fully back.
Yeah.
But I'm sure Coach is doing a great job of giving these guys opportunities to get as healthy as they can.
Veteran rest day. I love seeing it.
I love it. Yeah, I mean, it's deserved and earned.
How important is he given all the injuries in that secondary right now? Because, I mean, like that entire cornerback room is like we talked about, it's just guys that they weren't supposed to play this year.
Right.
And they are, and he's out there competing.
Think about that. If you got anything that's like, you know, when you talk about preserving and making sure you know, take care of somebody. With all that we've had going on in that secondary, we got to make sure everything X wants. X can probably tell us what he wants to do for the week. You know what I mean? So, I don't want to do this. And, you know, and they're like, okay, all right, X, you just sit over here. You know
get that Teron Armstead practice schedule
for
yourself.
And he's earned that and deserves it. And we need him healthy, man, because he does. Now he's getting back to old X form. Today was one of those old X form type of days. Of course, they're gonna make a couple plays on you, but who doesn't have plays made on him? But X looked good today.
So one other guy I want to mention here, two things for you, Juice. Number one, Trent Sherfield. He's
yep.
one of my favorite
oh,
players.
Oh man,
this team,
I was talking man. About Trent all day.
He is a stud.
I was talking about
he,
Trent
he does
all day.
A lot for this team. I think that one of those catches he had, I think 3 for 44 was his total. He had a 32-yard catch. That was the big one where he came back to the ball and made a big play for us.
Man.
That was impressive. But one uncomfortable topic here. We got 3 minutes left. Chase Edmonds had another drop in this game. And I want to ask you this because we talked about it a little bit earlier, and it's become a thing. And, you know, this was his game in Arizona. He was a receiving back that caught the ball and made all kinds of explosive plays. We saw it all camp long. We saw it in the preseason. He was one of his go-to guys in those few drives that he had back in the exhibition season. But now he can't squeeze the ball. What's going on there?
Yeah, it's a great question, man. It's tough to understand. You know, for me, you know, catching is all about trusting your eyes. If you trust your eyes, then your hands will take care of the rest. You know, so it's all about eyes first, then hands. And so, you know, I tell people nowadays, they say, OJ, can you still play? No, I can't. I can't play, but I can still catch because I still trust my eyes. You know, and I think he's starting to doubt his eyes a little bit. And that's all about reps. And, you know, when we start drops, you know, dropping balls, then it kind of snowballs on you. And hopefully he can work himself out of that, man. Because, honestly, I mean, a couple of those, he's still running.
I know.
A couple of those, he's still running right now, you know?
You think it becomes a confidence issue?
It definitely does. It was a trust issue or a confidence issue. You know what I mean? And then
I guess if you're not trusting yourself, that is a lack of confidence.
Right. So you got to trust that your hands and your eyes are right, man. And like Travis said, I'm new to Chase Edmonds. Travis is telling me that he's a guy that really caught the ball a lot out of the backfield. And that's surprising to me, seeing what we've seen, what I've seen so far. You know what I mean?
You wouldn't think it, right?
No, I wouldn't think it. But I think that, and you know, I know he's going to put the work in. A lot of work is them jugs machines. The jugs machines are critical. I mean, that's why I got the trust in my hands, man. Not to mention how big they are, but the fact my trust came in the jugs machines because we just challenge each other on the catch of the rock, man. And then once you trust your eyes, then your hands will follow, man. And that was key for me. And I think he's got to get back to that.
He had 128 catches in 4 years for the Cardinals for
that's a lot.
921 yards. So, I mean, that was a big part of his game, 5 touchdowns as well. And that's
we haven't seen a lack of trust, though, from his coach or his quarterback because they still – they keep going
got
to
him. Got to. Got so, to, right?
But, well, yeah, I mean, they don't. They could put somebody else in there, you know, in theory. But they're not. And so that tells me that either he's doing it in practice or – right? Because I think if he was dropping the ball in practice as well, Juice, he wouldn't continue to get those opportunities.
You'd abandon those situations, yeah.
That's what I would think. So I think they got to believe he can do it. This seems like
– or they're just trying to build his trust.
Don't build that trust in practice. We know there's different
men. There's a beautiful mentality here when it comes to how you handle guys that are struggling on this team, and those guys do a great job of trying to build them up. That's the way of doing it. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say that if there is a coaching philosophy that would build a guy up when he might be struggling, this seems to be the coach and coaching staff. And especially because he's in the running backs room and not the wide receivers room.
Right.
But it seems to be the coach and coaching staff that would, you know, I guess help him rebuild that confidence and that trust.
Tonight it's Jason Sanders and Noah Igbinoghene. I trust at some point later this year it's going to be Chase Edmonds we're talking about in the same way where he bounces back and has himself a big night. So I trust in Chase. So he'll get there eventually. Game balls were Phillips, Bethel, and Van Ginkel. Let's go ahead and pause 10 seconds so our stations can identify themselves. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
WQAM Miami, WPOW HD2 Miami, WKIS HD2 Boca Raton, home of the Miami Dolphins. Powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys.
Call 1-800-747-3. That's 1-800-747-3733.
We have two more segments left to go here, including me reading off out-of-town scores and reacting. Very surprised because I can't. This league has been so crazy this year. That's next. Dolphins postgame driven by Gunther Mazda. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Mazda. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, 16-10. The Dolphins take it. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
Miami Dolphins football, live on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
Tomorrow afternoon, Hawk and Crowder are talking Dolphins. AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Dolphins fans, you can be here for live NFL action all season long as the official ticket marketplace of the NFL, Ticketmaster, has a wide selection of tickets so you never miss a single play. Score tickets today at Ticketmaster.com/Dolphins. It is segment number 4 and hour number 2, which means it is time for the Around the League scoreboard. Week number 7 kicked off Thursday night in the desert as the Arizona Cardinals get back to their winning ways. They are 3-4 on the year after a 42-34 drubbing of the New Orleans Saints. Did you guys see that game? 2 pick sixes in a row from Andy Dalton there late. And did you guys happen to see that shot they got of him walking off the field disappointed and the pick six guy goes flying into the end zone behind him? That was the shot of the century from a camera guy perspective.
The entire
staff we have here at Miami Dolphins. Yep. They were like, wow, that is awesome to see. So the Cardinals get that big win there to get back on track. The Bengals blow out the Falcons 35-17. That was an earlier kickoff today. Man, these Sundays on primetime games, guys, I don't know about you, but I... it's a struggle to get to game time, Juice. That's a long time to wait until 8:15.
It's way too long, man, especially for the players, I'm sure.
I was going to say, you've been there before, right? What are you doing all day?
Nothing, man. Watching games, thankfully, on Sunday. I mean, you can watch other games, man, but you just want to play, but you also want to be on primetime, so can't have it both ways.
Taking some naps at least?
No.
Like one nap?
I can't because I can't sleep at night anyways. You might fall asleep on a game, but, man, you got to be ready to go.
You got to be ready to go. Like the Cowboys wore today over the Detroit Lions. You guys like that transition?
Yep.
24-6, they take it over the 1-5 fighting Dan Campbells. We'll see the Lions next week in Detroit as the Dolphins go on the road to the NFC North for the Lions and Bears the next 2 weeks. The Titans win a pivotal AFC South matchup. Is it pivotal? I mean, they're probably going to win the division, but that division's pretty bad. 19-10, they improved to 4-2 as the Colts fall to 3-3-1, right where they should be at 500 with a tie in there after seven games. How is that possible? It's possible because you tie a game. It's 1:15 in the morning. The Commanders win 23-21 over the Packers. What's going on with the Packers, guys? Aaron Rodgers, what was his numbers today? Let's look that up real quick. Aaron Rodgers, 23 of 35, a buck 94 and two touchdowns. I guess it's not that bad, but 5.5 yards per attempt.
Not Aaron Rodgers like.
Right.
I mean, what's going on there, Juice? You've been watching him play a little bit, right?
Yeah, a little bit, man. You know, and talk about these young receivers he's got going on and things like that. We got Adam Jones. You know, still, but, you know, you lose Devontae Adams and, you know, things aren't going to be as good as they used to be.
Hey, receivers matter.
Exactly right.
I keep hearing this about the Chiefs and Tyreek Hill. We're pretty happy to have Tyreek Hill.
We are ecstatic.
Speaking of what the hell was that, the Panthers win 21-3 over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the first game in the Steve Wilks era of the Carolina Panthers. Good for Coach Wilks, by the way. He got a raw deal in Arizona, gets a chance here with the Panthers as the interim head coach in place of Matt Rhule, 21-3 over the fighting Tom Brady's. The Giants are 6-1, and I heard this stat earlier this morning. They are, or I guess this afternoon, they are the first team to be 6-1 through seven games, with all seven games coming down to one score.
Wow.
Like that stat? I thought Seth would like that one.
Wow.
It's a great stat. I wonder how sustainable that is.
I don't think it is. Speaking of unsustainable, the Jets. Come on. They're 5-2. What the hell is going on here? 16-9 over the Broncos, over Brett Rypien, former Boise State Bronco, son of Mark Rypien, former Washington State Cougar, former Super Bowl champion Washington State Cougar. What do you think about that?
Man, that was a lot of lineage.
Yeah. That was
Seth's just looking like, what the hell is he
there?
Talking about?
Yeah, it just caught me off guard and all. I was going to say, what third string quarterback do they get to face next week?
Yeah, man. I mean, Rypien goes 24 for 46, 225.
That's is it Rypien or Rippin?
Rypien? I don't know, man. I guess I'm the Washington State guy here.
I just have heard him called Mark Rypien for the last 30 years.
It is four games in a row for the Jets against a backup quarterback, so that'll have to end at some point. 16-9. They did lose Breece Hall for the year on a torn ACL. I hate seeing that. He was a cool-looking young player. The Ravens get a much-needed victory over the Browns. Big slops almost brought the Browns back. 23-20 is the final.
If
they fall to 2-5 as Lamar Jackson gets his team back in the winner's circle. They are 4-3. The Raiders survive a scare from the Texans, 38-20. They were down in that one early. They bounce back and win that game. The Seahawks, Geno Smith, guys, he is balling right now. 37-23
high, right?
Over the Chargers. Where was it?
Miramar High?
He's local.
Miramar? That's
definitely local.
Passed it on the way into the stadium.
20 for 27 today, 210 yards, two touchdowns and a pick, a 105.5 rating. That's a victory over the Chargers. That's good for us here in the AFC, looking at the scoreboard as far as playoffs go down the line. The Chiefs help us out as well, 44-23 over the Niners, who fall to 3-4. We, of course, own their first-round draft pick. And then on Monday Night Football, it's the Bears at the Patriots. And I think Belichick has a chance to either tie or surpass George Halas on the all-time wins list, which would mean that Don Shula is next. Go Bears. Go Bears. We're going to keep that record
all day
here in South Florida. That's your NFL scores around the league. Let's see how much time we have left here. We got a few minutes left, Juice. That's the Week 7 scoreboard. So Dolphins coming up here. I want to go ahead and pivot to this, and we'll do it next segment and talk about the podcast network as well. Coming up, man. Lions and Bears on the road.
Oh, my.
Browns at home. Bye week, Texans at home.
You know what? I thought the Steelers game would be a lot less difficult for us than it was.
Sunday, man, that's for sure.
So, yeah, I understand. We're talking about guys that are getting paid, too, and the pride is out there for all those guys, too. You really got to take every single one of these games, one game at a time, and hopefully we can build from today's game.
Yes.
You know, hopefully that's the situation. Especially offensively, we need to build. Defense got some confidence, maybe a little more swagger. But, man, they're going to go out there. I was watching the Lions game today, you know, and they get the Cowboys all they can handle for most of that game. You know, and I know Dak was coming back a little bit rusty, but the Cowboys are a formidable team right now, one of the top teams in the league. So, you know, and you know Dan Campbell's going to have an extra something too, man. Great coach, you know, gets guys fired up and ready to go. You know, what's up, Seth?
No, it was 24-6. I didn't watch the game.
It got away.
Yeah, it got away at the
end.
Okay. Yeah, it got away at the end. Yeah, I watched. I watched the whole. It was on local today.
Yeah, it was.
But yeah, so. I think that, you know, no matter what, we got to line up and take every single one of these games, one game at a time. You know, first, let me say this real quick, man. Last weekend was a bad weekend for me, right? I had an 0-3 weekend. You know what that means, Big Steph?
We do.
I had my high school team lost on Friday, my college team lost on Saturday, and my Sunday team, the Dolphins, lost as well. We rebounded. My high school team won Friday, Hawk and Hawks.
Strike up the band.
My Penn State Nittany Lions won last night, and hell yeah, my Miami Dolphins got a big win.
It's because you were there for all of
them. I didn't go to the high school one. That was too cold over there. But yeah, man, that's what it's all about, though, man. So kudos to you guys for, you know, having make me have a great weekend. But the Miami Dolphins, man, cannot look past anybody.
Right.
100%. Bottom line is they can't let, you know, it's going to be – it looks great. And Seth's one of those guys that I've never looked at a schedule and, you know, win, loss. He won't do that.
He checks out when I mention
this stuff. I do that sometimes, man. But these are the games we need to win, and these are the games we should win. But we got to do it one at a time. Like, yeah. I tell my high school team and my college team, you know, we got to go 1-0. That's cliche, but it's the truth, man.
That's damn right.
If you look to next week, it's a problem.
Well, that they shouldn't be. I'm doing it because I like to, and I like to.
We're allowed to. We're allowed to
get the broad scope of things. And what I'm talking about is they're going to be favored in all those games. They're going to be the expected team that should win. Doesn't mean you're going to win. We see upsets happen every single Sunday here. But my whole point is, I think if this team is who we think they are, if they're who we want them to be, they'll be 8-3 going out to that 2-game California swing. That's what the expectation should be, to go 1-0 in all those games and get to 8-3.
What did you just do? I turned my head for a second.
You can go back to your phone. You're fine. The sigh, the deep sigh. But we'll talk.
God,
we'll
everything
talk,
was going so great.
We'll talk some Lions here coming up, and get a look at them, and also the podcast network coming up here in our final segment. It's 1:30 in the morning. Who's listening out there, Steph? Is anyone out there still listening to us? Everyone's
yeah, of course.
Listening
We're
to
all
us.
Listening.
This is traveling.
Dolphins post game
is
driven by Gunther Mazda. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Mazda. Again, the final score here from Hard Rock Stadium: Dolphins 16, Steelers 10. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Overtime Show, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
This is the official Miami Dolphins radio network, where Dolphins fans live.
Tomorrow afternoon, Hawk and Crowder are talking Dolphins. AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Unbeatable fans like you deserve unbeatable mileage. So next time you fill up, choose Chevron with Techron. Find a station near you on the Chevron app. Juice, we don't have Big Seth back in here yet to talk about the fish tank and what's coming up. I see some pizza crust over there next to his desk. Maybe he'll finish that up for us and finish the show as well. But, you know, real quick, I watched that Lions game a little bit today too. And, you know, I keep thinking about that game, or I guess I right now I am. Early here on Monday morning, about the Lions game next week. And,
right.
You know, Jared Goff is traditionally against this defensive system, whether it's the Patriots, whether it's the Dolphins, you know, when they played the Rams a couple years ago. He really struggles against this defensive system. I kind of hope that's what we get to see next Sunday in Detroit again.
Yeah, I do too, man. I mean, they're gonna be playing hard, man. Obviously, they're NFL teams, but man, we've gotta get close to him.
Yes,
we've gotta make him uncomfortable. We gotta make him move a little bit. And we got to, you know what, honestly, we got to play some of the defense we played today.
Yep.
We really do, man. Our defense, the way our defense played today, they got to step it up in a few, you know, situations, of course. But that's a good enough defense to win some games, especially games on the road. And winning on the road is always tough. Going out there early like the defense did today, making a statement, getting stops, that's the best thing you can do on the road. If we can go there and get some stops on defense until our offense gets an opportunity to go out there and do what they need to do, that's critical. And I think our defense at this point is capable of it. Obviously, we've had a couple injuries. Who knows what the status on those are. But guys stepped up. Next man, that mentality was incredible today. And I tell you what, that's a credit to guys like Chris Greer and our staff we're having guys that can step in there and go out there and make plays. Sessman, you know, player of the game, you know, Bethel, you know, guys like that. They're going to be counted on for the rest of the season to go out there and make plays. And they continue to make plays. When guys get healthy, it's going to be hard to get them off the field, right, yeah. Which I like as well. So building that depth and that confidence for those guys is important. So for the Lions, going out there playing those guys, shut them down early and take advantage of the opportunity. Goff is a guy that, you know, but we can probably get after. Jalen Phillips, if his motor continues, which I know it will, you know, up in Detroit next week, he's going to get those opportunities. And it's going to be a lot different situation than you have when you got a Pickett or you got, you know, Lamar Jackson or you got Josh Allen that can run a little bit. When you got a guy sitting there, it's going to be a better opportunity for him. But no matter what, he's going to continue with that motor, man. So defense is going to be the key for us. Do not give these guys an opportunity to feel good about themselves at all at home. And if that happens, then it gives our offense a chance to get going.
Are they
going to
practice in the indoor facility all week because it's an indoor game? Is that how that works?
Well, it makes sense too, because honestly, you got a climate control, and like if you're going there normally and it was outdoors, it's going to be 30 degrees. So, we know guys knows a lot about analytics, so they'll crunch the numbers. They'll crunch the numbers and see if it's important for us to be indoors or outdoors. It doesn't make much sense to be outdoors.
Yeah,
but why not go out there? Because it's easier to practice outdoors all week and then go and play indoors. There's not high altitude. There's like different things.
You're saying as opposed to practicing indoors all week and then having to go play outdoors in the whatever the condition.
Exactly right.
Got it.
So yeah, so our condition is way better outdoors to be ready for an indoor. I can run all day indoors. That's why I get it from. I come here and practice and I work out, and then when it comes to go somewhere up north where there was no humidity or was indoors, I can run all day. And I think that'll be the same way our guys feel.
Well, that'll be interesting, and I can't wait to find out what decision is made there. But there's something else I can't wait for, Juice, and it's tomorrow night. It's the Signature Grand Gould. It's the 18th annual, my favorite night of the year. And the only thing that makes my favorite night of the year better is when it follows a Dolphins victory.
Yes.
So we go in there not only as winners, but also above 500,
yeah.
4-3. But there's something else going on here, the game within the game.
Right.
And our man here, Travis Wingfield, is tired.
Right.
He's been working hard. He's up a little bit late,
past his
bedtime. He is forfeiting his VIP tickets
bit,
that you and I are giving him. He's forfeiting the tickets. So we put a contest out there. Folks tweeted at us with hashtag, I want Wingfield's tickets. And so we're going to pull a name out of a hat. I was going to try and get this on video just so there was no tomfoolery going on over here. But, Travis, you're going to pick the winner of who's going to take away your tickets. So if you can pull one of those there, and I know everybody's listening. They're waiting with bated breath here at 1:30 in the morning. But what number is coming up there?
We got number one.
Number one. It's the 305 Sports Babe, who I think from Twitter is celebrating a birthday, and she is the winner of two tickets, Travis Wingfield's tickets.
Yes.
So congratulations.
Enjoy to
the
you. I hope you have a costume ready, because if you don't show up with a costume, you're getting turned away at the door. But it is the greatest Halloween party, and especially after a big Dolphins win.
The Grand Ghoul, do not miss it, especially 305 Sports Babe heading out to the Grand Ghoul on Monday night. You don't want to miss that. Good show tonight, guys. We're not going to do the promo of the podcast. Drive Time Podcast, you guys know where to find us, in the Fish Tank with Seth and Juice right here. Good stuff every single week, as well as the new Friday Fish Bite segment they've been doing on Fridays. A little bit more current team and just a quick catch-up with Seth and Juice. So
a little bite.
12-15
minutes.
Little bite-size episode heading into a Halloween weekend. My daughter's going to wear a 50 like a, what were the poodles, like the poodle,
yeah,
skirt,
poodle skirt.
Kind of little thing.
Yeah.
Grease is the word.
I can't wait to see it. I'm gonna
one of my favorite movies ever. Grease.
Have you ever seen Grease?
Are you familiar with my favorite movies ever?
Do you know it exists?
Yeah, I know John Travolta.
Okay, good. All right.
That's pretty good. Olivia Newton-John.
Who?
Not
Olivia Newton-John.
I know the name, but you know, now we're getting a little bit.
I tried.
It is 1:30. Antennas up. Game on. Score your favorite games and shows for free. Visit the freetvproject.org to learn all about the free programming waiting for you, including Dolphins games. That's freetvproject.org. Thanks to Kim Bocamper, Joe Rose, the voice of the Miami Dolphins, Jimmy Cephalo. Our executive producer and booth producer today was Alejandro Solana. Our studio producers were Robert Griepert, Trevor Harris, and Matt Wilson. Our radio booth engineer was Steven Dave and Jay Gray, and our post-game booth engineer was Steph the Specialist. For OJ McDuffie and Seth Levitt and DJ Preach on the stats, on the pizza, on the soda, on the everything, I am Travis Wingfield. The final score of today's game, Dolphins 16, Steelers 10. Miami heads to Detroit next week for the first of two straight games on the road. Dolphins at Lions coming your way next week. Alex Dono continues reacting to today's game next on the local Miami Dolphins post-game show live on AM 560 Sports WQAM. We'll speak to you next Sunday night after Dolphins-Lions. This has been the Miami Dolphins post-game show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches. And we out.
This is the official Miami Dolphins Radio Network, where Dolphins fans live.
Tomorrow afternoon, Hawk and Crowder are talking Dolphins. AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Unbeatable fans like you deserve unbeatable mileage, so next time you fill up, choose Chevron with Techron. Find a station near you on the Chevron app. Juice, we don't have Big Seth back in here yet to talk about the fish tank and what's coming up. I see some pizza crust over there next to his desk. Maybe he'll finish that up for us and finish the show as well. But, you know, real quick, I watched that Lions game a little bit today, too. And, you know, I keep thinking about that game, or I guess I right now I am, early here on Monday morning, about the Lions game next week. And,
right.
You know, Jared Goff is traditionally against this defensive system, whether it's the Patriots, whether it's the Dolphins, you know, when they played the Rams a couple years ago. He really struggles against this defensive system. I kind of hope that's what we get to see next Sunday in Detroit again.
Yeah, I do too, man. I mean, they're gonna be playing hard, man. Obviously, they're NFL teams, but man, we've gotta get close to him.
Yes,
we've gotta make him uncomfortable. We gotta make him move a little bit, and we gotta. You know what? Honestly, we gotta play some of the defense we played today.
Yep,
we really do, man. Our defense, the way our defense played today, they got to step it up in a few, you know, situations, of course. But that's a good enough defense to win some games, especially games on the road. And winning on the road is always tough. Going out there early like the defense did today, making a statement, getting stops, that's the best thing you can do on the road. If we can go there and get some stops on defense until our offense gets an opportunity to go out there and do what they need to do, that's critical. And I think our defense at this point is capable of it. Obviously, we've had a couple injuries. Who knows what the status on those are. But guys stepped up. Next man, that mentality was incredible today. And I tell you what, that's a credit to guys like Chris Greer and our staff for having guys that can step in there and go out there and make plays. Seth's man, you know, player of the game, you know, Bethel, you know, guys like that, they're going to be counting on for the rest of the season to go out there and make plays. And they continue to make plays. When guys get healthy, it's going to be hard to get them off the field,
right, yeah.
Which I like as well. So building that depth and that confidence for those guys is important. So for the Lions, going out there playing those guys, shut them down early and take advantage of the opportunity. Goff is a guy that, you know, but we can probably get after. Jalen Phillips, if his motor continues, which I know it will, up in Detroit next week, he's going to get those opportunities. And it's going to be a lot different situation than you have when you got a Pickett or you got, you know, Lamar Jackson or you got Josh Allen that can run a little bit. When you got a guy sitting there, it's going to be a better opportunity for him. But no matter what, he's going to continue with that motor, man. So defense is going to be the key for us. Do not give these guys an opportunity to feel good about themselves at all at home. And if that happens, then it gives our offense a chance to get going.
Are they
going to
practice in the indoor facility all week because it's an indoor game? Is that how that works?
Well, it makes sense too, because honestly, you got a climate control, and like if you're going there normally and it was outdoors, it's going to be 30 degrees. So, we know a guy knows a lot about analytics, so they'll crunch the numbers.
We'll figure it out.
They'll crunch the numbers and see if it's important for us to be indoors or outdoors. It doesn't make much sense to be outdoors.
Yeah,
but why not go out there? Because it's easier to practice outdoors all week, and then go and play indoors. There's not high altitude. There's like different things.
You're saying
things
as opposed to practicing indoors all week and then having to go play outdoors in the whatever the condition.
Exactly
was.
Right.
Got it.
So yeah, so our condition is way better outdoors to be ready for an indoor. I can run all day indoors. That's why I get it from. I come here and practice and I work out, and then when it was come go somewhere up north where there was no humidity or was indoors, I can run all day, and I think that'll be the same way our guys feel.
Well, that'll be interesting, and I can't wait to find out what decision is made there. But there's something else I can't wait for, Juice, and it's tomorrow night. It's the Signature Grand Gould. It's the 18th annual. My favorite night of the year. And the only thing that makes my favorite night of the year better is when it follows a Dolphins victory.
Yes.
So we go in there not only as winners, but also above 500, 4-3. But there's something else going on here, the game within the game.
Right.
And our man here, Travis Wingfield, is tired.
Right.
He's been working hard. He's up a little bit late his bedtime. He is forfeiting his VIP tickets
bit,
that you and I are giving him. He's forfeiting the tickets. So we put a contest out there. Folks tweeted at us with hashtag, I want Wingfield's tickets. And so we're going to pull a name out of a hat. I was going to try and get this on video just so there was no tomfoolery going on over here. But, Travis, you're going to pick the winner of who's going to take away your tickets. So if you can pull one of those there, and I know everybody's listening. They're waiting with bated breath here at 1:30 in the morning. But he's going to – what number is coming up there?
We got number one.
Number one is the 305 Sports Babe, who I think from Twitter is celebrating a birthday, and she is the winner of two tickets, Travis Wingfield's tickets.
Yes.
So congratulations.
Enjoy
to
the
you. I hope you have a costume ready, because if you don't show up with a costume, you're getting turned away at the door. But it is the greatest Halloween party, and especially after a big Dolphins win.
The Grand Ghoul. Do not miss it, especially 305 Sports Babe heading out to the Grand Ghoul on Monday night. You don't want to miss that. Good show tonight, guys. We're not going to do the promo of the podcast. Drive Time Podcast, you guys know where to find us. In the Fish Tank with Seth and Juice, we're here. Good stuff every single week, as well as the new Friday Fish Bite segment they've been doing on Fridays. A little bit more current team and just a quick catch-up with Seth and Juice. So
A little bite.
12, 15
just
minutes.
Just a little bite-sized
episode.
A little bite.
A little bite-sized episode heading into a Halloween weekend. My daughter's going to wear a 50. Like a what were the poodles, like the poodle
skirt
kind of little thing.
Yeah.
Grease is the word.
I can't wait to see it. I'm
one of my favorite movies ever. Grease.
Have you ever seen Grease?
One of my favorite movies ever.
Do you know what exists?
Yeah, I know John Travolta.
Okay, good. All right.
That's pretty good. Olivia Newton-John.
Who?
Not
Olivia Newton-John.
I know the name.
R.I.P. Olivia.
I know the name, but you know, now we're getting a little bit.
We try. I tried.
It is 1:30. Antennas up. Game on. Score your favorite games and shows for free. Visit the freetvproject.org to learn all about the free programming waiting for you, including Dolphins games. That's freetvproject.org. Thanks to Kim Bocamper, Joe Rose, the voice of the Miami Dolphins, Jimmy Cefalo. Our executive producer and booth producer today was Alejandro Solana. Our studio producers were Robert Griepert, Trevor Harris, and Matt Wilson. Our radio booth engineer was Stephen J. Gray, and our post-game booth engineer was Steph the Specialist. For OJ McDuffie and Seth Levitt and DJ Preach on the stats, on the pizza, on the soda, on the everything, I am Travis Wingfield. The final score of today's game, Dolphins 16, Steelers 10. Miami heads to Detroit next week for the first of two straight games on the road. Dolphins at Lions coming your way next week. Alex Dono continues reacting to today's game next on the local Miami Dolphins postgame show live on AM 560 Sports WQAM. We'll speak to you next Sunday night after Dolphins Lions. This has been the Miami Dolphins postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches. And we out.